You are listening to Breathe and Bounce.
Dear society, you are moving way too fast for me. I'm just trying to catch my breath. Can I get a little bit?
Welcome to a special edition of Breathe and Bounce. It's Michael with you. Thank you again for spending your Friday with me, as usual. I don't really have too much that I want to say because my guest basically doesn't need an introduction, and he'll pretty much say everything that I'd like to say better than I can. So I'm just going to get started right away. My guest is known as the Loving Kindness Monk, he is the abbot at the Blue Lotus Temple and Meditation Center in downtown Woodstock, right there in the square. His name, if you don't know who he is, I'm sure you've seen the t-shirts, Choose Love and Kindness in yoga studios and everywhere.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, yes.
So, Vonte, thank you so much for coming on the show. I have so many questions. I have so much to ask, and probably not just about life, but about you. Uh-huh. So tell me a little bit about you. You have been a monk almost since birth.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your story, how you became a monk. Yeah. Let's start there.
So it's very interesting journey I have, Michael. When I was 10 years ago, 10 years old, I go to the temple for Sunday school. One day, my teacher asked me, do you want to become a monk? It was a joke. And so, you know, in our countries, when monks say something, we never say no to him. Mm-hmm. Just being respectful, I said, yes, that's it. Now my rest of my life, I'm monking around. And so, so my parents didn't like it. You know, I was fighting for that. Finally, my parents, granted me.
Your parents didn't like the fact you became a monk?
No.
Okay, how old were you when you made this decision?
So when I left home when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And I became a monk at age 11.
Okay, so at age 11, your parents were not happy.
Yeah, they are not happy about my decision, but they try to stop it. So I was fighting and asking permission. Finally, they gave me the permission to
go. What was their problem with you becoming
because,
a monk?
Because, you know, I'm the only son in the family. Uh-huh. And I have a sister, 2 years older than me. Eastern cultures, you know, having only son, they are very attached to him because he's mm-hmm. the one carrying the family name and, you know, being only one.
Right.
And so my parents were so attached to me. And so, however, now they are very happy about it.
So now they're happy. Yeah. How long? So you're from Sri Lanka, correct?
Yes, I born and raised in Sri Lanka. It's a little island, bottom of India.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you did become a monk, that meant you had to go to a monastery and you had to start working and you had to start doing all these things,
oh,
right?
Yeah. So after I become a monk, my training was 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call the boot camp training.
Okay. So you were in monk boot camp.
Yeah, monk boot camp. Yes, I was in monk boot camp.
So what were some of the things that you, if one wants to become a monk, what do they teach you? What is it that you have to do to serve?
So it depends on my age, you know, depend on the person who become a monk, his mm-hmm. age or her age. And so because I was very young, still I had to be under supervision. And so then my teachers become my father and my mother. They were always watching. We had to wake up 4 in the morning, go to bed 9:30 at night. Every mm-hmm. day is very structured training, boring, lots of meditation, chanting, study, Sanskrit and all the languages. And the education is crazy, you know, lots of stress, you know. So follow the program. So
lots of stress to become a monk?
You know, become a monk is not a stress, but training.
Really?
Yeah, it's a training is very tough. And tough means a lot of things for a kid. But that's the way it is. But, you know, kids don't like to do those things. So, but anyway, I did it.
So that's why monks tend to be more patient
as
they get old.
Because of that training.
You get all the bad stuff right away when you're young.
Yeah. Because of that training, I'm doing so well. I'm so grateful for that training now.
Now, how did you end up coming to the United States? How did that journey
start?
So
before I come to U.S., I was in Australia for a while. Then I had the opportunity, invitation from U.S. and one of my teachers who used to live in Los Angeles and Michigan. And so he's the one gave me first invitation to come here. Then I came here for as a visitor. So I was there, you know, in Michigan a few months, and so then I was there a few years. So after that, you know, so I felt really good what I'm doing. Then I was thinking I want to do something for local community. Then I learned the language and started the Blue Lotus in Chicago here.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the Blue Lotus, because I mean, I kind of know the story about it.
Right.
But I think it's a fascinating story.
Yeah. The Blue Lotus Temple, people think, you know, so temple is another religious organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people see it.
Right.
But we are not really strong believing about the religions.
Okay.
And so now after 2,500 years later, after Buddha's death, you know, it's become a religion too. Therefore, the world recognizes that Buddhism is one of the major religions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I'm starting the Blue Lotus Temple in old UU church in Woodstock.
Right, it was a church.
It's an old church.
Right.
And so it's over 100 years. And so after I get that, you know, I was teaching meditation there 9 years. After that, they sold the church. So all the local people supported me to get the building.
What kind of church was it before?
I think they started as a Catholic church.
It was a Catholic church.
And so, later they changed their traditions, I think.
So you were able to teach meditation there despite the fact it was a Catholic church? You didn't get any kind of pushback from
the Unitarian Universalist at that time, they are very open-minded people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they are respecting all the religions. They dearly welcome me to their building. You
that's
know,
beautiful.
They really enjoy it. You know, I love, you know, UU community. They are very open-minded people. So, you know, little by little being there, I built the community. You know, 9 years later, they mm-hmm. sold the church. I got the building. Now it's called the Blue Lotus Buddhist Temple.
Right.
But the good thing about it, I'm always telling people, this is not another religious organization. No need to become a Buddhist to come there. So we have a Buddha in one side. You have seen it. The other side, we have Jesus. Jesus and the Buddha. This is the only temple in the whole church, in the whole world. Buddha and Jesus are standing side by side and practicing loving kindness.
You
and
know, I want to talk about that a little bit more
yeah.
for sure, because, you know, that I am... I'm a firm believer in what you just said, but right now I'm still, you know, I still would like people to get to know you a little bit more.
Right.
So you started that. So the Blue Lotus Temple is up and running, and you start, obviously, like you said, little by little, people started coming in. Do people come in there and do they get really intimidated by the whole, oh, do I have to become a Buddhist thing? And if so, how do you reassure them
actually,
that it's not?
Actually, people, when they come to our center, they have that thought because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A fear for unknown.
Right.
After they come to the building, after they're talking to me or other monks or our members of our group, they feel totally, you know that, people feel totally like a home.
Exactly.
So we are funny, we are a little loud, we are laughing, we are joking, and, you know, same time we are loving and we are kind, you know. So everybody, you know, we are not teaching their, you know, the come and believe. We teach people come and see. So there's a big difference.
Do you teach people, I'm sorry, what was that?
Not come and believe, come and see.
Okay.
Come and see. So it's a big difference, right?
Come and believe. Okay, so come and see.
Yeah, come and see.
Not come and believe, come and see.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what exactly, if someone was to, what do you think is the best way for someone to get started as far as meditation goes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously just do it, but people, you know, when you come into the temple, they got the pillows on the floor, they got the chairs, and people see and they're just like, oh my God. I mean, I've brought people and they're friends of mine, and they'd look around and they're like, oh, what are we supposed to do here or whatever?
Right. So people, you know, I know people are making the judgments and making the mental stories.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that much difficult because our temple is a very open-minded community. Why we have cushions, people love to sit on the cushions too. And like Indian style, lotus position, right? And some people, they have physical difficulties, then they can use the chairs. So then I'm asking people to use both. You know, you can go to chair, you can go to the cushion, come and back and forth. You can change always, you know. Meditation is not a punishment anyway. And so therefore our places is, you know, not promoting Buddhism or not promoting any other religions. We are promoting love, kindness, and mindfulness.
Now, when you guys meet Tuesdays and Saturdays at 10 a.m.
Yeah,
Tuesday, and then Mondays and Wednesdays at 7.
7, Monday and Wednesday, 7 in the evening, Tuesday morning, 10, and Saturday, 10, you know, the morning.
And you guys always have a lot of events going on there. I know sometimes you even got the cooking fundraisers there.
Right.
I read that there's going to be 108 sun salutations which is always fun for us yogis.
Right, exactly.
Nothing like doing 108 sun salutations and having your shoulders hurt in the next day.
Right.
But it's for a good reason. It's for a good cause.
We have lots of programs, you know, different, you know, offerings we are doing our center. Yeah.
When you meditate, is there any right way to meditate?
Yeah. You know, so, you know, if you are new to the meditation, I'm always asking people, first part of the meditation is practicing loving kindness. That's it. I call that, that's a ground, that's the foundation, that's the base. Without practicing loving kindness for yourself and others, we cannot grow, you cannot continue this journey. So then I'm teaching.
May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease, and may I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease, and may I be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you happy. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. And may we be happy. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. and may we be happy. I am filled with loving kindness. I am well. I am peaceful and at ease. And I am happy. I am filled with loving kindness. I am well. I am peaceful and at ease. I am happy. I am filled with loving kindness. I am well. I am peaceful and at ease. And I am happy.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Bhante Sujatha from the Blue Lotus Temple in Woodstock. Now, sometimes when I'll speak for myself, sometimes when I'm meditating, and usually when one goes to Blue Lotus, it's about a half an hour meditation.
Right.
I would say usually by 20 minutes, my leg falls asleep,
right.
And then I got to move around.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Totally fine, because that means you have a body, you know. so that you know you have a body.
Yeah.
So we have to respect that. That's why I said many people, when in the beginning, when they are practicing meditation, first reaction is not peacefulness. First reaction is anger and hatred. Why? Because we have to deal with this body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm giving opportunity, the options for people. They can sit on the cushion or they can use the chair. Always you can change your, you know, position,
mm-hmm.
you know, going back and forth. So that's why I said we are not giving a punishment. So
right.
Right.
And then after the meditation, you or one of your fellow monks will always do a Dharma talk.
Dharma talk. We call the Dharma talk. That means giving some wisdom to think, thought for the day, little discussion. And we are doing a little fun chanting and
mm-hmm.
then done. It's an hour.
Now, your loving kindness movement, you see Choose Loving Kindness shirts.
Right.
People that are into yoga have those shirts,
right.
Like everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is like, why are you always wearing that shirt? Because I've got like three of them.
Right.
Where did you come up with all this whole idea about getting the whole Choose Loving Kindness movement going?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Because, you know, people call me Bhante Sujatha, the loving kindness monk, you know.
Right.
So I think, you know, the loving kindness, you know, people always, I can talk about loving kindness, but without putting into the action, it's just a word.
Right.
Right. So therefore, I thought, you know, I teach years and years of loving kindness meditation. So I want to put into the action. Then I start to do some charities. My biggest charity I'm doing, helping pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
So last 24 years, I did this pregnant women project. So usually I'm teaching 300 pregnant mothers loving kindness meditation with the belly. They can practice meditation. And so I'm really believer when moms are doing so well,
mm-hmm.
Children are doing so well too, because I'm a firm believer of that. Therefore, I'm doing this project last 24 years. So, you know, one day one of my students said, Bhante, you are working so hard to raise the funds. Let's do something about Choose Loving Kindness t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to do that t-shirts. Now people really love it. It's a great message.
Mm-hmm.
People wearing this t-shirt when they are walking around, always there is attention. People start to talk. People start to smile. People start asking questions. Two of my friends said they were, you know, the climbing in Eiffel Tower in France, and they saw another two people coming down wearing the same t-shirts. You know, four people met middle of nowhere in France wearing Choose
awesome.
Loving Kindness t-shirt. That means that far this message is carrying.
It's becoming a worldwide phenomenon.
Right, exactly. That's a universal thing. It is not belong to one community or one group of people. Loving kindness is a universal thing.
You go to a lot of yoga studios
mm-hmm.
to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the connection with the, I mean, I know yoga and meditation go hand in hand
right.
and all that stuff. I get it. But you really cover a lot of ground. I mean, you're not just out here in Illinois. We could just set up a website. And
right.
I think I saw a picture in the temple that says, where's Bhante?
Right, exactly.
I mean, we could just do that, because you're like, you could be in Woodstock 1 minute.
Right.
And then the next day you're in Hawaii.
Right, exactly.
And then the next day you might be
Europe,
in
right.
like London.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, first of all, where do you have the energy to do all this?
Actually, I think, you know, I'm, you know, very mindfully excited person. And so I'm always thinking life is short, Michael. Therefore, mm-hmm. you know, work hard and help more people, help myself. And so every evening when I go to bed, I feel tired, you know, I know that. But when I go to bed, I don't have any regrets or worries. I'm always thinking to myself, because of my action, because of what I'm doing in the world, there are so many people sleeping, go to bed peacefully because of my work. Yeah, so it's bring absolutely. Me so much energy and joy to continue. So therefore, I know when I'm getting old and old and old, and so then I have to sit in one place and do my stuff. Still, I have energy, so then I'm keep working and keep doing. Every day I'm excited to absolutely. Do whatever I'm doing. Yeah.
So when you travel and you talk to, you know, many people, mm-hmm. What is the most common problem people come to you about?
The one thing is the relationship issues. And the number one is then stress. Mm-hmm. Is to workplaces, it's, you know, the everyday life, you know, even when you say the relationship issues, you know, with parents and children, wife and husband, you know, right. partners and boyfriend and girlfriend and all those things. Then people have a stress after that.
Yeah.
Then the workplace stress and all those things, the anger issues and lots of things, daily stuff, not anything crazy. You know, everyday things. So then I always try to find the answer. But more than giving, I'm not giving a sermon to people. I don't like to do like that. I'm sharing my life, how I did it. Or I'm not asking you should do this and this. I'm not asking that. I'm always my presentation, how I figure it out, how I did myself. So in these areas in life. So then people feel connected to that.
So I guess I'm going to ask, we'll go back to when you were in monk boot camp.
Uh-huh.
Is that where you learn the bulk of your mindfulness and I guess your training that mm-hmm. you bestow upon other people?
Yeah, because in the training program when I was in that boot camp, mostly I learn about information, facts and details and all the theories. That age, you know, like a teenager, I don't care even, right? But I was around all the good people, good teachers and, you know, lots of guidance for me. But after I become adult and getting more experience about life, travel around the world, come to the United States and experience this U.S. culture, then little by little, I try to, you know, bring this teaching to my personal life experiences. So now, you know, I feel 100% confident what I'm doing about my spiritual journey. I don't mm-hmm. have any doubts about it.
Was there ever a time when Bhante Sujatha had anxiety?
Of course. You know, if I say no, I'm lying. Right? You know, so the good thing about it, when I have anxiety, I know what to do.
Can you speak to a time that you did have anxiety?
You know, anxiety is like a common thing. Everybody has right. that thing. They are coming and going. Then, you know, the situation is different. So what I'm always doing, I'm always looking for the root of the problem.
Okay.
So then, you know, that's why I said, the situation to situation is different.
Okay.
So when I see the root, then we have to eliminate the root.
Do you have a personal experience that you can share?
You know, I don't have that much those kind of anxiety experiences in my life. Little things here and there coming and going, even it's not really staying in my life. I didn't have that many those big experiences about anxiety problem. But a couple of times I was thinking to myself, what people are talking about? You know, anxiety, right? And now I get it because people making the mental stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then after you are making the mental stories, then they are firm believer about those stories. Then you can remember who made the story.
Right.
Then you have anxious about it and worry about it and fear. Then right after that, all other negativities come to you.
So it's basically just about getting the facts together.
Right, exactly.
You get the facts, you kind of...
Analyzing.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Analyze the facts.
Right.
And then you come up with a conclusion with what you have in front of you.
Right, right.
And then you move on.
Yeah. So, but, you know,
you make it sound so easy.
Right, right. You know, if I say analyzing, don't misunderstand. You know, so when we use the word analyze here in the United States, people sometimes they don't like that word much.
Oh, no.
And so analyzing. So when you, this is my second language, right? So when I use the analyzing, that's I call the mindful.
Right.
Mindful analyzing, you know,
contemplation.
Contemplation, you know, the contemplation. That's a good word, I think. Contemplate what is going, you know, what is the root of the problem, where it is coming from, who is connected to this, and not too much thinking about it. Really mindfully dig into the information. Then we are looking for the root, and then we recognize the issue. Then we are looking for the solutions.
And like I said, you make it sound so easy, but for so many people, that's difficult. I mean, especially. I'll just take myself, for instance. I'll just put myself out there. I suffer from a mental disorder called borderline personality disorder. And the root of my disorder is I'm emotionally sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way for me to sum up BPD mm-hmm. in just two words, mm-hmm. emotionally sensitive. It's gotten me in trouble in the past with, you know, school growing up. I mm-hmm. wasn't always the best student. I obviously wasn't always the best husband, maybe not the best friend, maybe not the best boss mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. I would get upset. And when people said things to me, I would take it personally like it was an attack on me. But I think one of the things I've learned from you and from mindfulness is it usually is never about me.
Right, exactly.
And I guess that might be a good place to start when you teach people mindfulness, yes?
Yeah, exactly. Because mindfulness is mindfulness is one of the biggest solution for our burning matters we mm-hmm. are experiencing in life. Because, you know, talking about reading about the mindfulness and talking about the mindfulness, you cannot practice mindfulness.
No.
So what I'm asking you, you have to find a good teacher and a noble friend and who can help you in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can be your own guru.
Join us next week as we will feature the second part of this interview. Until then, be well, be happy, be peaceful. Namaste.